Hey, everybody, this is a preview of today's members episode. If you want to hear the whole thing, head on over to theconfessionalspodcast.com, hit the join button, and become a member today.
Merkel Media.
This was all circulating around the base that a giant had been killed, but no one was supposed to talk about it.
I saw three long, bony fingers reach up underneath the door, curl up to grab it, and then disappear.
When he came over to me, dude, he slithered over to me.
And this giant comes out of the cave, and they're all frozen. And he starts running and firing at this giant. Well, the giant moves. He's got a spear in one hand, and he's running really fast, and spears Dan holds him up like this. Somebody else, shoot him in the face, shoot him in the face. They basically decapitate him.
Got closer. When he got about 15 yards away from me, I raised that 12 gauge and I blow his head off.
I feel something pulling at my leg. And I look over and there are two small gray entities pulling at me. And they're literally, I'm getting pulled off the bed.
I reach my hand into this bush and I touch air. Couldn't breathe and I couldn't move because I know I'm seeing a monster.
Welcome to the show, everybody. You're listening to the Confessionals Podcast. I'm your host, Tony Merkel. Thanks for being here. If you have a crazy, wild experience you want to share with me on the show, go ahead and shoot me an email. My email address is contact@theconfessionalspodcast.com. That's contact@theconfessionalspodcast.com. Or go to the website, theconfessionalspodcast.com, hit the contact section, and you can reach me that way as well. Either works for me, just get a hold of me. If you want, go ahead and check out MerkMerch.com for your Merkel Media apparel needs and MerkelFilms.com for on-demand streaming. New documentaries coming there very soon, and we are very excited about it. Now, today we have Chad coming on the show to talk about his supernatural experiences, and they range from dealing with the occult to accidentally, involuntarily astral projecting while he was in the military. This was a great conversation. I hope you enjoy it. Let's get to Chad right now. All right, today we have Chad on the show. Chad, how are you doing, man?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on.
I'm glad you're here. And you shot us an email with the main focus being this house that you and your family lived in up in Alaska. And I don't get a whole lot of people, you know, I might even get more people who contact the show that are from Australia than I do Alaska. There's not very many people. Yeah. But the funny thing is the guy who, he's a really good friend of mine, Scott Walker. He does, he's worked with me for years on the show when it comes to like graphic design and things like that. He's the guy who rebuilt my website last year. He helped me with the rebranding. He created the new logo with a 6-finger handprint, all that stuff. He's in Alaska. Not much stuff coming out of Alaska towards the confessionals these days, but I from what I understand, you're not in Alaska now, but that's where this story took place. But before we get to, the main event of the house, I think it's probably best if we lay the groundwork from, your childhood, because, you were sharing with me, a particular situation that kind of got you exposed to more occultic things. And so, I'll let you kind of run with it and lay the groundwork, you know, what your childhood was like and that things that might have contributed to possibly your experiences in Alaska with your family.
Yeah, thanks, honey. So, yeah, growing up, you know, I didn't have a lot of ghost encounters or anything up until probably like the age of 10 when I actually saw my dad, who had died a few months before, walking down the road. And literally as we passed, made eye contact with him and looked out the back window and he was gone. It was like the first thing that ever happened to me. And, you know, I didn't know much about my ancestry. This is before the internet, before ancestry.com. But my mom tells me, oh, by the way, we're part Hopi Indian. And as you can see on the video, I'm extremely white to be Hopi Indian. So that's obviously not the case later on. Now that we have the internet, I found out I'm Scottish. So, but I end up looking I go to the library, you know, because there's no internet. I'm researching Hopi Indian. I'm really getting into it because their beliefs are pretty out there as far as mainstream what we're hearing today. Not out there for what we hear on the show, but you know they're into these star gods and these aliens, and you know they've got carvings from thousands of years ago with ships and stuff. I'm just blown away, and I'm approached by this, you know, I'll say hot librarian. I'm in the seventh grade. You know, I'm kind of a little bit of a nerd, maybe. Obviously, I'm in the library during lunch reading books. And this gal comes up to me and starts talking, giving me a lot of attention. I'm just like, oh, this is great. She's talking to me about Hopi Indians. Next thing I know, she gives me this book. The first one that she gave me was about these twins that were separated. One lives in England, one's in New York, and they start astral projecting to visit each other and have all these adventures. And I'm like, that sounds awesome. Like, how cool is that? And hey, I'm Hopi Indian. Maybe I can do these things too. So in the books, they're not, she's not giving me like how to occult books, but there are these novels with it weaved in. And, this one, it literally tells you lay on the ground, do these steps, 1, 2, 3, how to astral project. And, you know, I'm laying on the ground 6 months until I hit the ceiling. You know, and she's giving me more books, like some kind of nerdy kid goes to this new school, starts doing candle magic, finds out she's a witch and all these things. So I start doing candle magic, doing these things. She gives me Anne Rice. I don't know if you know Anne Rice, kind of a gateway to a lot of things, probably for a lot of kids. But the ones that really stuck with me were this Witching Hour kind of series, where this ghost spirit lasher would hook onto this family, and he was with them for centuries, and just like through people, you know, one would die, latch onto the next kid, and he just gave him kind of wealth and knowledge and power and all these things. And you know, 12 years old, 13, I'm like, I want one of those, you know. So I'm in my astral body, or you know, I might have been remote viewing at the time, but I was like thinking about this lasher, and I was like, I want one of these. Like, a you know, I moved a lot as a kid, so I'm like, I want a friend that doesn't die or leave or anything. And I start reaching out. The first time I hear a voice, it tells me his name is Michael. And I'm really big in the youth group. You know, I've been going to church my whole life, and I'm thinking, I'm really big into the archangels. This guy's playing me. He's telling me he's Michael, because that's my favorite one. You know, my dad was in the army before he died. So it's like, I like this warrior type mentality, and this Michael just hits home. And I'm like, Michael, sick. You know, and then the next time he talks to me, he actually tells me his name is Lasher, which is interesting, because that's the name of the book, or the spirit in the book that I read when I was calling out. So now I know he's totally BSing me, but I kind of play along. It's kind of nice to have somebody that's always around, asking him questions and things like that. But I'm still in the youth group, you know, and I just don't feel like I have anyone to talk to there, which is really unfortunate, because I don't feel like anyone in my church knows anything about this spiritual realm of spirits or ghosts or astral projection. I went to Southern Baptist Church, where it's turn or burn, repent or be sent, you know, and I'm really close with my youth pastor and, you know, great connection, but I just don't think I can tell him these things unless I want to be completely shunned from this church. So I keep it to myself. You know, every time there's a altar call, who wants to get saved? I'm down on my knees. Like, might as well have my own spot. You know, and who wants to get baptized? I'm in the water. I probably got baptized 5 times at that church. And I think I had a swimsuit hanging up in the back. And, you know, I just kept getting wet, kept giving my life to God. And eventually I got to a point where I was just like, okay, enough with this lasher. And I rebuked him, and I told him, in the name of Jesus Christ, you know, of Nazareth, I want you to leave and go away. And everything kind of calmed down for a little bit. And then these like shadow figures just appeared out of nowhere. They're in my house. They were like, I'm walking to school. I see him kind of darting around. I look, and it's like the shadow of a mailbox that was just a person. Or I'm walking, and you know, there's these shadow people, and I look over, and there's nobody there. And they were just like, just seemed like they were following me around. I'm like, great. I pissed this thing off and I sent him back in, and now he's sending his buddies after me. You know, and I'm from Portland, Oregon, where it's dark, it's dreary, it's rainy. It kind of has that ambiance of, you know, almost like the Matrix, where everything's just kind of dreary and,
cold.
Yeah. And, I thought I needed glasses because I keep seeing these things. So I go and get fitted for glasses and I start seeing them really clear, and I'm like, well, skip this. I'm not wearing these glasses anymore. So I ditch those. I don't even get my driver's license till I'm 18 because I don't want to wear glasses. Like, I keep seeing these spirits and shadow people. But in Portland, it's nice. I mean, there's public transit everywhere. You catch a bus, catch the train. But I'd be walking to the bus a lot, and there was always this black car that was like an older kind of boxy four-door car. Reminds you of something from, like, you know, agents would pop out of going to Roswell or something. And they're cruising by. It's rainy. And I would see, like, I look over and these people are in this car, where the only thing I can say that they look like, or like, I've explained, is like New Ropo or Skinny Man or something like that, where sometimes they're wearing black suits, even a tie, white shirt. Most of the time they were just wearing all black, but they had completely white faces. You couldn't even see eyes, nose, mouth, but you could see that they were there almost underneath. And they would just be staring at me. I'd look away quickly. Every once in a while, when I looked over, they would have their hands against the glass and just almost like you could see their mouth was open under this sheet of skin or whatever. But I know it's not a mask, but you can see their mouths open, like they're paused in time. And they're just kind of really creepy driving past them. These guys are obviously messing with me. I just keep thinking it's because I dissed the slasher and he's pissed and he sent his buddies, you know. And one time I looked away, I like refused to look. And I look up as the car passes, and from the back window, there's like three of them pressed against the glass with their hands against the glass. And I'm like, you know, 14 at this time, I'm freaking out. I'm just like, these things are hunting me, obviously. And yeah, so that's, I think what kind of started it was this lady in the library that, you know, talk about grooming. You know, like nowadays it's this woke mind virus, but back then, who knows, like in the 80s, it's like, let's get kids in the occult, you know. And she opens up this world to me that totally played on, you know, my dad dying, this Hopi Indian stuff, and just opened up astral projection, remote viewing, candle magic, and planting thoughts in other people's heads, calling out to spirits. It's just like, you know, how deep she took me, I feel like wouldn't have gone so deep had I had somebody in the church I felt like I could talk to. But, you know, I just feel like even today they're kind of ill-equipped with this knowledge of the spiritual realm, or even acknowledgement of the spiritual realm, to really help people that are going through these things. So they keep it to themselves, unfortunately, you know, and kind of go through this alone. But the thing that brought me back and completely away from the occult dealings and anything like candle magic, I gave it all up when I went to the Air Force. And when I was 22, I was sent to Kuwait, and it was almost my birthday in October, but it was still warm outside. And ironically, now that I think about it too, I was the only one. I was stationed at Nellis Air Force Base, and I was one of the only people that showed up in Kuwait that was from Nellis. Everybody else that showed up that I was with was from Alaska, oddly. So, yeah. But I show up, you know, it's 112 in Vegas when I left. It's 120 in country. So I'm fine. They're all coming from Alaska. They're dying. I'm feeling bad for these guys. And, but I get put on crash recovery with this team, and we're working 12 hours a day. We're on the flight line, basically waiting for something to fall out of the sky or crash or have an accident. And you go out and try to save, you know, whatever's left to save or whoever's left to save. But it's my, you know, almost my birthday. I'm about to turn 23, and I'm sitting at the end of the runway. I drive this white truck out there, and I climb up on the hood. I'm like laying against the windshield, kind of arms behind my back, looking at the stars, which there's not a lot of lights out there. So those stars are huge. The moon's huge. And I'm just kind of praying and thinking and everything, and just boom, I have this involuntary astral projection that rips me from my body, where, and I know it's not me because, you know, like whenever I did it as a kid, I was scared that I would break my silver cord. Like I didn't want to leave my room, you know, or like maybe venture upstairs in my house, but I never went far. And this is like, I see my body. I see the country, Kuwait. Like I see the ocean, I see the earth, and I'm in space. Like I see the atmosphere, and I'm...
So you were like sucked out.
Sucked out of my body. Yeah. And I'm freaking out because the first thing I think of is my silver cord. Like, did I just break it? Like, am I gonzo now? And I'm panicking and I'm looking around, and all of a sudden it's just this, like I say, it's like dripping warmth and love and peace just hits me. And I know that it's God, and I feel like I'm his and I belong. And I don't know how to really describe it, Tony. The feeling, you can't really put into words, but it's like he told me where I fit in his existence. Like, I don't even want to say like universe, because it was so much bigger than that, but it was like this whole cosmos, the earth, the energy that was flowing through me, this love that was just like literally dripping from my body, like makes me emotional to even think about this happening, because it was so overwhelming that I just felt so much gratitude. And then I slam back into my body and I'm just exhausted, you know. And it's a different type of exhaustion from when I would try to astral project on my own, where it's like beyond fatigue, like you can almost puke, like you're feeling like you have like low blood sugar plus you're dehydrated. This was a tired of just like, oh my gosh, like I just use every muscle in my body, but like in the best way, and you're almost floating. And I'm bawling. It's, you know, I look, it's midnight. So it's my birthday. I'm 23. I'm like, thank you, God, for this birthday present. You know, like this was the best birthday present of my life. Something I will never, ever forget. And I still get emotional even thinking about it or talking about it. But it was just such a gift, you know, like to have that experience. But I completely turned away. That was the biggest turning point for me, where I was like, okay, I can't talk to people in the church about it, but God just told me, don't worry about it. I got you. Yeah. And yeah, that was incredible. So,
You know, that reminds me of a story we heard years ago on my dad's show. It used to be my show too, called Hammerlane Legends. I think it was like the second episode. We had a guy, his name was, I don't remember his name, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Yeah. But basically he had a very long, episode with us, and it was the second episode, and I remember sitting in my makeshift studio in my old house in Pennsylvania before my daughter was born. Okay. And I was writing my dad a note, or even maybe I might have even muted the mics while the guy was talking, and said to him that this is not a typical episode, and don't expect every episode to be like this, because yeah, it was wild. And and for us to have that on the second episode is insane.
That's awesome.
But the part that reminds me is he was a truck driver in maybe Afghanistan or Iraq. But he was a civilian. Like, so he was one of those guys that was contracted to drive. Okay. And they were in some kind of situation, and they were getting ambushed. And he had an involuntary astral projection moment where, and this was years ago, that like I'm talking, well, like when I recorded this, it was probably 2019. So like I was only like 2 years into the podcast, this podcast. So like I didn't have any frame for what I just heard, because he said he was taken out of his body. And he could see down at his body in the Humvee and or the truck, and he could see the whole caravan. He could see everything happening around, and he could see where the attack was coming, and he could see where the convoy needed to go to avoid this and get out of it. And he was able to see it from out of his body, but also was connected to his body, where he was actually in his body able to communicate to everybody where to go. And he was able to escort everybody out by being out of his body, but still connected to his body for his body to be working.
That's insane.
And so when you said that, that's kind of like what it reminded me of, And again, you were, well, you were in Kuwait, right? But, you know, still military situation where soldiers being pulled out of his body. And theoretically in his situation as well is, you know, God, he was giving credit to God for saving his life and everybody in the convoy. So very interesting, very interesting. So, that was like a turning point in your life, I imagine.
Big time. That was the big turning point. Yeah. Like I came home, got my stuff together. Like I said, I was at Nellis. You know, I turned 21 there. So I, of course, learned how to drink there. And my life was kind of a mess when I was in Vegas. So when I came back, I was like, I'm going to become a chaplain.
This was a preview of today's member episode. If you want to hear the whole thing, head on over to theconfessionalspodcast.com, hit the join button and become a member today.